This morning, I want to talk about focusing our minds during the Lord's Supper. So I want to talk about the importance of mental focus and what to focus on when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper and how to remain focused. I appreciate Jared leading that song that quotes from Habakkuk 2:20, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." In that context, Habakkuk had been talking about the folly of idolaters setting up their idols, which are supposed to instruct them, and yet these idols are completely mute, speechless, dumb. And so Habakkuk says, but the Lord is not that way. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is real. And instead of the Lord being the one who keeps silence, it is all the earth that keeps silence before Him. And the idea of that is that we need to have reverence and awe in the face of our Creator. It is before Him and His Son that we have gathered this morning. Worship is entering into God's presence. Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So we have entered God's gates, and we are in the Lord's courts today. Doesn't have anything to do with this church building. We could be gathered under a tree. Worship is entering God's territory and the territory of His Son. And so we need to worship with all we've got. Psalm 100 and verse 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. All that is within us, since we are in His very presence. Well, those things apply to the worship service in general, but what about the Lord's Supper in particular and focusing our minds there? Well, the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. He didn't just say, do this. In other words, He doesn't simply want us eating of the unleavened bread and drinking of the fruit of the vine and going through those motions. He wants us to do it in remembrance of Him, which requires concentration and focus and even meditation as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, we must examine ourselves. Verse 28, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So what did Paul mean when he said examine ourselves? Well, I've talked about this before. In that context, Paul was rebuking the Corinthians for using the Lord's Supper just to fill their stomachs. That they had turned it into a common meal, and their minds weren't engaged in the right purpose at all. So he reminded them that this is a memorial meal. And then he said that each man must examine himself. So what he meant is we need to think about, while we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, Are we doing it for the right reason? Ask yourself, am I engaged? Is my mind engaged? Am I doing this for the right reason and with the proper focus? So we all understand these things. I've not told you anything new. But the truth is we can get distracted. We can lose our focus from time to time. If we're not careful, we can spend the entire time that we're supposed to be remembering the Lord as we're partaking of the Lord's Supper just thinking about random things. You might think about last night and what a good time you had with your family or with your friends. You might think about how tired you are because maybe you stayed up too late and you have just different random thoughts going through your head. Instead of focusing on the one thing that we're supposed to be focused on, which is on the Lord and what He did for us. So how do we do that? How do we stay focused? Well, there are, first of all, some preventative measures. Like getting adequate sleep on Saturday night. You might think, it's the weekend. Stay up late. Kids, it's the weekend. You know, it's okay. Stay up late. Well, Saturday night that's the night before the Lord's Day. If we're not adequately rested, then we're going to be fatigued and our minds will not be able to focus the way that they should. So I would encourage you to think about that. There are other preventative measures we could take, of course. But when it comes time for worship, when it comes time for the Lord's Supper, really it all comes down to mental discipline. We just have to have mental discipline. We have to choose to focus our minds and not allow the different thoughts that are competing for our attention to take over. Even right now while I'm talking, all of us have thoughts that are competing for our attention. Just like when you go to a website and there's that advertisement just flashing at the bottom or on the side of the screen and it's trying to pull you away. And you have to have the discipline to just say, no, I'm not going to click there. I'm going to focus on what I'm here for. Same thing right now in our worship. We have thoughts that are flashing all in our heads saying, you know, think about me, pursue me. And we have to say, no, we have to have tunnel vision, as it were. Just like when we're driving down the road, if you turn and if you pay attention to every single billboard that you pass by or every single person standing holding a political sign, you're going to have an accident. We have to have tunnel vision to some degree to ignore the distractions. Same thing when we're worshiping. Same thing when we are taking the Lord's Supper, to ignore all those distractions that our mind is trying to lead us down. Now, sometimes things happen during services that you can't control, that make it hard to concentrate. That happens. It'll happen during the Lord's Supper from time to time. And so it's only natural that we're going to get thrown off track from time to time. We'll find ourselves drifting. That's natural. But when that happens, have the discipline to redirect your focus back on what you need to be thinking about. However, we must do more than ignore distractions. We must actively concentrate on the right things. I touched on that earlier, but let's go into that a little bit more in detail. About what to focus on. What should we focus on when we're taking the Lord's Supper? That might sound like a really simple question. Well, obviously we need to focus on the body and the blood of the Lord. But what exactly does that mean? When Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he did not specify exactly what sequence of thoughts need to run through our head. So, what do we need to think about? Obviously, we need to think more than just to think, well, Jesus died on the cross to forgive me of my sins. And to just think those words over and over in your head repeatedly, well, that's not going to be very effective. You might really kind of get tired of just thinking that those same words over and over. I think Jesus wanted us to concentrate specifically in detail about what he did for us on the cross and why. I think Jesus wanted us to concentrate on the details of what Jesus did for us on the cross and why. So let me give you two practical examples of how we can do that while we're taking the Lord's Supper. The first way is use one of the Gospels to read an account of Jesus' crucifixion. That is an excellent way to help to focus your mind on where it should be, actively focus your mind on what you should be thinking of. So let's just kind of think through that. Let's say you take the Gospel of Matthew and you start reading in chapter 27 about Judas's remorse and Jesus before Pilate, or somewhere around there, wherever you wanted to get started. Let's say you start reading that as soon as after the prayer for the unleavened bread is offered. And you don't have to read it fast. You can read it slowly. You can stop at certain points and meditate on that. And then you stop your reading whenever the prayer for the fruit of the vine is offered, and then continue your reading. And read right on through the resurrection and so forth, if you want to do that. I think that is all very appropriate, all together, what we need to be thinking about with the Lord's Supper. I know a lot of Christians who use that method. So I would encourage you to do that, especially if you find it hard to focus. You can use Matthew's account or any of the other Gospels. Another method, and this is the method that I most often use, is I like to think about specifically when I'm taking the unleavened bread, think about the suffering Jesus endured in his body. In his body. As a human, in the flesh. And when I take of the fruit of the vine, I think more specifically about his death. Now let me explain why I do that and a little bit more about that. So when Jesus was commanding the Lord's Supper to be taken in Matthew 26, and he took the bread and he told his apostles, "Take, eat, this is my body." This is my body. So where my mind goes there is I think, well, the only way Jesus could suffer on the cross is by being in the flesh. He left heaven. He came down and took on human form. And so therefore, in the body, he was scourged. In the body, he had that crown of thorns placed on the head. In the body, he was spat upon and ridiculed. In the body, he was forced to carry the cross until he could bear it no more. In the body, he was nailed to that cross. His flesh did all of that and endured all of that. And I don't just think about, of course, the suffering itself. But as we talked about last week some, I think about why. Why did he do all of that? He did it for me. He did it because he loves me. And he did it because I'm a sinner. So I make it very personal. Those are the thoughts I have as I take of the unleavened bread. Now, when it comes to the fruit of the vine, I hone in particularly on the fact that not only did Jesus suffer, but he died. He died. Why do I think about that when I am taking the unleavened bread? I mean, some might like to instead think of Jesus' suffering and his bleeding and everything when they take of the fruit of the vine and not the unleavened bread. But the reason that I focus on his death particularly is because of the Old Testament and what the meaning of blood being given is. Leviticus 17 in verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls." So Jesus might as well have told his apostles, "This is my life which is poured out for you." When he said, "This is my blood," he might as well have said, "This is my life which is poured out for you." Because life and blood are correlated. The idea that this is my blood is not, disciples, I simply want you to think about the fact that the fruit of the vine represents that red stuff that came out of my wounds and dripped down all over my body. Now, certainly, it's very appropriate to think about that. That's part of thinking of Jesus' suffering. But the meaning of his blood is so much deeper than just that he was in pain and he bled. It represented the fact that, like with Old Testament sacrifices and the blood of those sacrifices being poured out at the basin at the foot of the altar, so it was with Jesus, that his blood was poured out, his life was poured out and given for us. He didn't just suffer, he actually died. And again, why? We always need to think about the why. He died because I deserved to be on that cross. I deserved to do all that suffering and die. Death is the judicial price for sin in the Old Testament. That's why animals were sacrificed. So Jesus died in my place as a substitute for me so that I don't have to die, either physically or spiritually. Those are some thoughts that I think will be helpful for you. Now, if you don't have that exact sequence of thoughts, does that mean you're taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner? Not at all. Not at all. Those are just a couple of suggestions for you to help to focus your minds on what we need to be focused on. Whatever methodology you use is fine as long as you stay intently focused on what the Lord did for us on the cross and why. And so this morning, let us be very careful to examine ourselves as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup.